You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
We now present the 10 best sounds of planet Earth. Birds chirping. A babbling brook. The wonderful sounds of an orchestra. The ocean shore. A summer storm. Diving into your pool on a hot summer day. When your wife says,
I love you.
The first time your baby laughs. And here is the most wonderful sound you can ever hear.
That sound is the sweetest sound you can ever hear. Your car starting and getting you where you need to be. At Perfection Auto Works, our free 26-point inspection ensures you will hear that sound every morning and have peace of mind. From brakes, starters, belts, and tires, complete auto repair. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Gallery saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
The John C. Scott Show is paid for by the John C. Scott Company, LLC. Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of KVOI or its sponsors.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you and good afternoon. Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This is the most talked to, talked about, and listened to political talk show weekends in all of Arizona. Thank you for making that possible. Our guest today, Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, and a regular contributor to the Bill Buckmaster Show, heard on this radio station, noon to one weekdays, Monday through Friday. We'll also talk with the car guy, Mike Emery. Then Jim Hanley, our financial expert, breaks down the Biden tax deal. That's all coming up on today's show. Thanks so much for being with us. Here's Don Jorgensen. Hi, Don. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Thank you, John. Great to be here.
Let's talk about Kyrsten Sinema, our U.S. senator. While in Tucson to tout her immigration bill just this last week, the senator said she did not vote on the creation of the commission to delve into the January 6th riot at the Capitol because of a personal family matter. She's getting a tremendous amount of grief from the left. How serious is this criticism, and how much jeopardy would this put her in if she runs again?
Well, I'll answer the second question first, because there were some recent polls done that indicated Senator Sinema is losing support among Arizona Democrats. I mean, we've known this, just for anyone that follows social media and even letters to the editor. But the challenge there is she's not gaining any support from independents or Republicans, which is no surprise. Republicans will never support Kyrsten Sinema. They know her history, and they're not looking to vote for any Democrat. But she's not even picking up any from independents. The poll indicated, in fact, a serious drop among Democrats of about 30 points
wow.
since December in her approval. And even among independents, it's not up. It's not even there, it's down 14 points. So I think her antics, for lack of a better word, in the Senate the last couple of months, as well as her comments, are not helping her in any way. It's hard to understand her strategy because, you know, she's a smart politician. She didn't get elected to the Senate by accident. So it's a little mystifying. There is speculation about where some of her campaign fundraising money is coming from. But is she in real danger right now? No, she's got 4 years before re-election. So she has time here to turn it around. And I think what Democrats are looking for is it really still revolves around the filibuster. If she changes her tune there and votes for the issues that are in front of us right now, then, you know, she has time to change that poll and change those opinions. But what's on Democrats' minds right now, frankly, is that, you know, if it wasn't for Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin, Republicans would be facing accountability for the January 6th insurrection, and people's vote would be protected. It's that simple. And right now we have neither of those things because these two senators are playing right into Mitch McConnell's hands.
Yeah, that is curious. Maybe not so much by mention, but of course about Sinema. Sinema's always said, I interviewed her when she was in the state House. I interviewed her when she was in the state Senate. I've interviewed her when she was in Congress. I have not interviewed her since she was elected to the Senate. But there's an arrogance about her that's really pretty alarming. Seriously. I mean, this is not a woman of great humility at all. I mean, she's very self-confident. I suppose you could call that a plus. But her lack of humility is a minus. It really, truly is. I mean, and of course, she's a strong-willed person, God knows. You know, I think it's going to come back to haunt her. If she keeps this up, there'll be a primary, and somebody will throw a serious amount of money at her. And it may not beat her in the primary, but it would weaken her for the general. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Well, there is no doubt about that. And you know, yes, she doesn't exhibit a lot of humility, but that doesn't put her in the minority in Congress.
I'm no, sure it doesn't.
That well.
That's
true. You
probably
need some of that. But it seems to be a lot of political miscalculation right now, exacerbated by her comments. You know, to say that when you have a system that's not working effectively, the way to fix this is to change your behavior. Well, it's time for Senator Sinema to look in the mirror. The Republicans have shown you what their behavior is. They're not changing. So it's time for the senator to change her behavior because she's there to get things done. And the Republicans aren't going to change when they're getting what they want. You know, that it's a dysfunctional relationship if that's what she believes in. It's hard to know what she actually believes at this point, frankly. Is she using this to get attention, or does she actually believe that she can get Republicans to work with her and with the Democrats? Because all evidence points to that being a delusion. So let's hope it's a matter of time, and if Manchin comes along, that she'll see the light and come along too, because there is far too much at stake right now. And it all starts with voting rights. You know, it doesn't matter if she gets primaried and what happens in the election, if the elections themselves are tainted and restricted by all these laws that the Republicans are pushing in several states right now. And this federal bill, S1, is all about protecting people's rights to vote. And, you know, that's the wrong side of history for Sinema to be on right now.
Let's talk a little bit about voting, because obviously in Maricopa County, they're recounting the votes. Arizona's the laughingstock of the nation. There's no question. Even other states that may follow Arizona in recounting votes. I mean, it's just almost crazy of what these Republicans have done, not only with the Republican Board of Supervisors in Maricopa County, but with the whole system. Maricopa County says we can't use our voting machines after they've messed with them. We think this is absurd. This is costing taxpayers millions of dollars, and Arizona has become a joke, an absolute joke in the country. I don't know where this is going to end, do you?
That's the question, because if you look at where this is going, it's hard to see an ending that doesn't cause a lot of damage to the country, because what's happening in Arizona is not happening in a vacuum. This started with the big lie that the Republicans are pushing to, you know, promote their fantasy that Donald Trump didn't lose by 7 million votes and didn't lose the Electoral College. But it's beyond that. What's happening here is their focus on these conspiracy theories to undermine confidence in all elections, to depress the vote, to make it harder for certain constituencies, minorities in particular, blacks especially around the country, to vote, and casting doubt so people don't vote and have difficulty doing it. So that's why we're seeing the voter suppression laws passed in Georgia, in Texas, in Arizona, and this is the second part to undermine credibility here, because as you've seen, there have been tourists, let's call them political Republican tourists from Pennsylvania and I think from other states, Wisconsin, is looking at doing the same thing, conducting their own fraudit, to use Secretary of State Hobbs' word, you know, this is a joke, but they're doing it simply to undermine confidence in the elections, to keep and to continue to, you know, pay fealty to this bizarre leader that they still think is a sane person in Donald Trump. And it's just craziness. It'll be interesting to see tonight, although no surprise what happens when he speaks in North Carolina to a GOP gathering there, because we know that the diminishing number of rank-and-file Republicans want him to focus on 2022, but most folks believe he's going to come back to talking about the big lie and even talk about the mockery that's happening up in Maricopa County. But that's what it's all about. It's undermining confidence in elections and continuing to feed these conspiracy theories to satisfy the Trump extremists. I don't know how you beat that other than at the polls in the midterms in 2022, because they're not going to just give up and say, oh, we were wrong. The only way to beat them is to beat them in the elections.
Speaking of beating them, you know, we've been talking with legislators for the last, well, three or four cycles of elections in Arizona. They've been one vote, two votes shy of taking a majority in the House, and one or two votes shy of taking the majority in the Senate. I don't know what it's going to take to get the Democrats over the hill and allow them to have at least a majority in one of the houses, for the simple fact that we have to look at the redistricting now because of the census. I don't know how Republican these districts are going to be, but they've been Republican enough to stave off Democrats' hopes, dreams, and efforts to take at least one house when they're so close, but yet so damn far away.
Well, you're right on the ball, John, because the fact is, the Democrats have been getting closer in some of these legislative districts. And the plan, and still is the plan for 2022, is to target districts where they could be toss-ups to pick up those votes. That's why, as you pointed out rightly, the redistricting process is so critical. And the Republicans knew it. They feel like they lost out on redistricting because the maps 10 years ago were frankly fair maps. And you know, they don't like it when it's a level playing field. So now we have a redistricting committee that has had Ducey's thumb on the scale from the beginning with how the appointments took place, and now with who they've hired as an executive director to run the day-to-day. He's a partisan Republican who got paid by the McSally campaign. They picked a group to draw the maps, to do the draft of the maps, who have already had their work thrown out in other states by the courts because they were so inept. That's who they're choosing. And so they pretty much have the majority. The one independent is lean Republican on every single vote. And that's going to be the issue. So the challenge for Democrats is to monitor this redistricting process carefully, to speak out at every public hearing, to watch what's happening and demand total transparency and accountability. Because you're absolutely right. It's how those lines are drawn that are going to pretty much dictate whether Democrats have a chance to pick up two seats in either the Senate or the House. And it's going to affect one or two, at least, congressional districts. When you look at District 1, for example, that Representative Tom O'Halloran represents, that was a toss-up district. And he won it as a Democrat and took re-election there as well. And the Republicans are very surprised and unhappy about that. And they'll be targeting those kinds of changes, too. So the Democratic Party and Democrats around the state have to keep a close eye on what's happening there, because that'll make all the difference.
We're talking with Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County. Don, let me take a quick break, and I'll come back and talk more about the Democratic politics of Arizona right after these messages. From the Prevention Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Back in a moment.
Hi, my name is Jim Hanley. I was born and raised in Tucson, and I raised my own boys here. I want to get to know you, your dreams and goals, and help you shape them into a plan for success. I've been helping hundreds of Tucson families do this since 1993. It takes experience and know-how to navigate the rocky shoals of the financial markets and keep you on an even keel. I look at every account I manage every day to find opportunities to grow your nest egg, to make you at ease and enjoying your life. I want to show you the highest integrity and reliability you can find anywhere. That's why I named my business with my own name, Jim Hanley LLC, and why I'm a member of the CFA Society of Tucson. Find me at jimhanleyllc.com or call me at 623-3646. That's 623-3646. Jim Hanley LLC is a registered investment advisor and a member of FINRA SIPC.
What organizations sponsor the news you see on TV? Do you think these sponsorships affect the news reports about their products? Do these same organizations sponsor politicians? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customer.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Your radio commercial puts you front and center in the listener's attention span.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Ackerly Advertising has over 5 decades of radio advertising experience. Stir emotion, create demand, and grow your business with radio.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
This is the John C. Scott Political Forum from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. We are with Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County. Let's talk about Katie Hobbs and her bid to leave the Secretary of State's office and become governor of the state. What kind of chance does she have?
Excellent chance for a few reasons. One, she's hugely popular within the Democratic Party, so she's the leader right now in terms of any primary. But more important than that, she has a positive name ID for the work she has done, and that's what you look for in a politician. It's her record of accomplishment and seriousness, highlighted, of course, by seemingly the only voice who has spoken up for sanity and common sense while this, you know, ballot counting circus has gone on. So I think she has a good chance. Folks are pleased when, you know, she's been on the air a lot. Anyone that watches any the cable news or follow social media has probably seen Katie Hobbs on any show. And she comes across as very thoughtful, very knowledgeable, very strong, and kind of outspoken in a positive way. And I think that's a result of her experience. You know, she's been in the legislature. She was in the legislature, I think, for 8 years, starting in 2010, before she was elected to Secretary of State, where she cleaned up an office that was, frankly, run by an incompetent predecessor in Michelle Regan, that they had messed up election processes more than once during her term, a lot of dysfunction there. And under Katie Hobbs' leadership, she modernized the office, improved those systems, and in one of the most contentious elections we ever saw, had that office running admirably. I mean, with all the court challenges that have occurred in the state, all the questions about the election, she had proven to show leadership and competence in every step along the way. Certainly what you'd look for in a governor. And so I think the Democrats are well served to have Katie Hobbs right now at the head of the parade seeking that the primary nomination. And I think the state of Arizona would be well served to have someone with her experience and expertise and capabilities in the office.
So what do you think the future of Doug Ducey, our Republican governor after 2 terms, will be? He's pissed off. I guess you couldn't put it any other way. A whole bunch of his Republican allies in the Senate and House for vetoing their bills until he gets a budget. I mean, that's always been a threat that a governor has, but to exercise it, and these people were carrying a lot of water for the governor, and look what he did to the water. We can't really say it on the air, but this really upset a lot of Republicans. What's his future, do you think?
That's a good question. There's just strictly speculation that he may choose to run for Senate against Mark Kelly, although he denies that. There's other speculation that says he wants to run for the White House. And you can't put that past any Republican governor to think they're qualified to do that. We've seen them all go after it at one point or another. And he has certainly cozied up to Trump as much as possible, although since he hasn't done 100%, Trump has called him names and attacked him, which is always interesting to see. But this last action that you just referred to, where he vetoed every single bill brought to his desk because they didn't vote yet on his budget, I think was more emblematic of a temper tantrum than any kind of smart political move. So not what you're looking for in a leader. You know, maybe there's an ice cream shop that needs a new owner, and he can go back to that because he certainly hasn't served the people of Arizona very well.
Don Jorgensen, always great to talk with you. Appreciate your observations. Don Jorgensen can be heard on the Bill Buckmaster Show on a regular basis. I'm so sorry. You know, Bill broke his arm, seriously, a serious break in the vacation.
Yes.
A slip in Alaska, and I felt so bad about that. He's a tremendous talent, and I always listen to you when you're on his show. Thanks for being with us today, Don Jorgensen. I hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for sharing part of yours with us.
Well, thank you, John. Good news is Bill will be back on Monday, so we'll all be happy about that, too.
I am very happy about that. He's a great talent. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you.
Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party. Mike Emery, our car guy, is coming up next. Then we'll talk with Jim Hanley, our finance guy. We've got a lot for you on this Saturday afternoon political forum from the Perfection Auto Works studios. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Ward 5 City Councilman Richard Fembrace is a lifelong resident of Ward 5. His service to this community includes former Pima County Sheriff's Deputy, a Vietnam-era veteran, U.S. Army. Richard served the state of Arizona as director of the Arizona Governor's Office of Highway Safety. Richard Fembrace is a former member of the Pima County Community College Governing Board. Richard Fembrace has been elected to the City Council 3 times now and asks for your vote for another term. Ward 5 City Councilman Richard Fembrace has offered leadership to this community, more jobs created in Ward 5 than any other council ward. Richard Fembrace has fought for better lives of the Ward 5 residents. Richard Fembrace has been a watchdog of city spending and has demanded accountability for every tax dollar spent. Vote for Richard Fembrace in the July Democratic primary in Pima County. This message paid for by Fembrace for City Council 2021.
As a business owner, you're responsible for the growth, leadership, and the daily operation of your business. This includes your interaction and advocacy for your customers. Tucson Business Owners, Inc. offers you the opportunity to educate and advocate about community policies affecting profitability. By becoming a member of Tucson Business Owners, Inc., you can have an effect on common issues, such as curb appeal, municipal budget priorities, and keeping a vibrant workforce in the area. For more information, visit TucsonBusinessOwners.org.
Where are we going today, Mr. Peabody?
1876, the day that Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone.
I've got to come up with the right formula for my invention. Oh, drat, another breakdown. Oh, if I just had a carriage phone, I could call for help. That's it. That should do it. I know. I'll call Watson. What's his number again? Oh, yes, it's 1.
Hello, this is our third attempt to reach you. Your car warranty is about to expire.
Damn robocalls.
At Perfection Auto Works, we won't hound you with crazy schemes and ways to get your business, but it's a good idea to keep your car in check and maintained with our free 26-point inspection. We can handle all of your automotive needs. Give us a call today, 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. I have learned in 78 years of my life that you need 4 things in life. A lawyer, a doctor, a religious mentor,
at an auto mechanic. Not necessarily in that order. You can't get to the lawyer if you don't have the car that'll get you there, or a doctor's office if you have to get there, or even go visit your religious mentor. You gotta have a car. And finally, after all these years, I found an auto mechanic that can repair my car honestly, fairly, and when I need it. And that's Mike Emery of Profession Auto Works. He joins us now. But Mike, thanks for being on the show. Appreciate it very much. I wanted to tell you a quick story. Do you mind?
No, go ahead, John. Right. Glad to be here.
As you know, I had my granddaughter graduate from Colorado College in Colorado Springs. I had to have a car to get me there. My wife's car was never able to pass emissions for the last couple of years of her life. She died of cancer back in November, and I was going to sell the car, but I can't because I have a sentimental value to it. But I also needed the car to get to my granddaughter's graduation, and nobody could fix it. I had it to two other mechanics and spent $1,500 for people to say, I just can't get the engine light off. You told me when I brought it to you, we have never had a vehicle they couldn't fix. And I believe that because you put this car in brand new condition for not only a long road trip, but also for the dependability and the affection I have for the automobile. And I thank you for that. I really, truly thank you for that. It's personal with this car and me, and it's personal with you as well, because now I can depend on you to fix both my cars, and I have them available at any time because I know they're dependable and safe. So I assume you do that for everybody.
Well, I do, John. I try to do that with everybody, but of course you're special because you know, I like my commercials on your radio program.
I like them too.
So I figured if you can't make it to work, you're not going to play my commercials.
That's very true. That's absolutely correct. You know, it's amazing to me. I was trying to remember. You did a remote broadcast with Nicole Cox and Fred Imus when we were at the Jolt. That had to be, I don't know, was it 20 years ago that long? Because Fred's been gone a long time, Don Imus' brother. But it was one of the greatest shows that radio station ever had. I don't know how much fun you had that day, but it was an amazing, amazing performance by everybody.
It was absolutely fantastic. That was the first time that we'd ever done one of those. We had a ton of people. It was cool to meet Nicole Cox and, of course, Mr. Imus's brother. And, boy, we had just a parking lot jammed. It was really a cool experience. That's one of the reasons why I love radio so much.
When did you come up with these rather amazing commercials that everybody talks about? I can't remember the first time I ever heard them. They've been on the air for a while, haven't they?
Yeah, they have, and it's because of Charles Heller. You know, his Swap Shop program and Liberty Watch and America Armed and Free caught my eyeball, and I called him up one day and I said, "Boy, I'd sure like to advertise on these cool programs." And he kind of got the hint that I do things a little different. You know, perfection in your name as far as a business is kind of tough to live up to, so you better make sure you're doing it right. So he said, you know what, let's produce some of our own radio commercials, and that's exactly what we started doing, and I got to tell you, I'm proud of our work. Jerry Cross continues to help me in the production department and the idea department, and in my opinion, we produce some of the best stuff that radio has out there. I'm proud of them, and I'm proud of my business, almost 30 years in business. And I'm also proud of the fact, John, that just because politically we're different, we can actually have a difference of opinion but still do business. And that's important in America today, don't you think?
Well, it is important. And just as a comment on that, first of all, I again want to thank you for the relationship we've had with the automobiles that I have so much need in my life. And I have a dependability I never had before. I know that I can trust you to fix the car. I don't have to worry about it. I could call a tow truck and get it to you within an hour, and you'd have it repaired as quickly as possible and as fairly as possible. I've never had that kind of relationship with somebody who repairs cars before. But in this town, where it's just a spread from hell and gone, you got to have a car. I've never been on a city bus. I've lived here for 50 years. It's not that I don't have anything against city buses. I just always needed a car to get to where I would go. And now I have a dependability that I've never, ever had before. And I think people can depend on you to repair their car fairly and honestly, and I think that's true. You've never found a car you couldn't fix. Is that right?
You know, in my 30 years in business, John, I don't think we've ever come across a car that I've ever had to tow out because we couldn't figure it out. That doesn't mean that we didn't take a lot of time and extra money to figure it out, but you know, there's always that challenge, and I got to tell you, there's always a car on the next horizon. There's so many cars out there, and I really am pleased that you made it all the way to Colorado, and I even text you a couple times just to be sure that all was well. I do that with all my customers, just so you know. I give them my phone number. I let them know that if they have a problem, they're out in the middle of nowhere, you can count on me to make sure that we are there to get that car back on the road whenever it's needed.
Well, I think that's what separates you from just about everybody else. Perfection Auto Works is an amazing success story in this town, and you deserve it. You've earned it. Very quickly, you and I have complete, I would think, almost opposite, although we have some similarities in our political views. Let me take one moment for a quick political overview. What gives you more anxiety about this country now as a hardcore conservative than you, perhaps at any other time? I'll give you a couple of minutes of politics, and I'll have to let you go, but we can talk politics at another time. But I'm always curious about what is your major concern as a conservative as we sit here in June of 2021?
Well, I'm really pleased that you asked that, because I do have a lot of concerns. I mean, this country that is one of the greatest republics that I think has ever been formed is on the verge of becoming a socialist country. And it's, you know, I don't want to get personal, John, but it's guys like you that voted over the years for people that have gotten into office and kind of set their roots down into this socialist idealism. I mean, when you open up a border and you let thousands of people just crawl or walk across the border, that's not healthy for our country. I mean, not only has the cartel grown in huge amounts, they're running ads so that they can advertise, hey, we'll take you to the U.S. I'm very disappointed in my American president that I didn't vote for, and I know many people did. Listen, we're all Americans at the end of the day, but what I want to see is responsibility. I could not run my business like this country's being run right now. It's being overpowered by money, by fake money, by a fiat currency that just isn't going to stop. John, we've got governors that are stopping free money from the federal government because people will not get out of bed to go to work. When you can make more money staying in bed, there's a problem. We've got some smart governors out there. I'll give you another thing that really upsets me. How in the world can a president, how can he stop the 4th of July celebration at Mount Rushmore, one of the most sacred places we have on this planet? He doesn't want to listen to reason. The Fauci China virus crap is gone. It's over. But they still want to continue. Governor Noem still has to go to the Supreme Court, more than likely, to stop this kind of madness. So you ask me why or what am I concerned about? It's the direction of my country. I feel like there's too much value being placed in race relations. I mean, I don't get it. Most people are not racist, but everybody, including the media, is making this huge statement that race is a big, giant issue. It was never an issue. I mean, it was an issue years and years ago, but it hasn't been. I mean, we just had a black president, what, two terms ago?
Mike.
I don't.
John? I'm out of.
Go ahead.
No, I appreciate the direct commentary that you've had, and I wanted to be sure that people understood where you were coming from. I'll obviously have time eventually to give you where I'm coming from, but I do have respect for you, and I do thank you for your business, and I thank you for your friendship. We have to bring ourselves together no matter how far apart we are in our politics. Yeah. I'm out of time here. I've got to go to another segment. I appreciate all the work you've done on my vehicle. I trust you implicitly, and I thank you for your commentary, and I thank you for being a part of our show. I appreciate it very much, Mike.
Thank you, John. Thanks for giving me the time.
Okay, have a great weekend. We'll be back with James Hanley. He is our financial expert right after these messages.
Together, they brought a bit of France to the heart of Tucson. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery at Prince and Campbell have become a gathering place for Tucsonans who love great bread and wonderful food. The bread and the pastries of La Baguette Bakery have become a Tucson favorite, and Guigny's French Cafe offers casual atmosphere, delightful French cuisine, and moderate prices. Dine in or dine out, Guigny's is just perfect for breakfast and lunch, offering specialty coffees, lattes, French wines, cocktails, imported beer, and a touch of France. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery in the Safeway Center at Prince and Campbell have now become Tucson's destination to dine in or to take out.
Do you want election integrity and transparency? Are you one of those Americans who is sick and tired of the political duopoly? Do you wish there were another viable choice? Do you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours? Do you question the political theater you're fed every day? What do you believe, the approved narrative or your own eyes?
Are you ready to become engaged for freedom no matter your political party preference? Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
Are you tired of being lumped into the worst elements of history when you exercise your right to speak, dissent, or petition your government? Are you perplexed by those who cannot distinguish between speech and violence? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Gallery saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Jim Hanley is with us. He's our financial advisor. Biden offers a tax deal. Jim, explain that one to us, please.
Hey, John. It's great to be here again today.
Thank you.
Yes, the Biden tax plan is a very exciting one for Americans. For one thing, I want to mention that first of all, the infrastructure of the country, the physical infrastructure, is badly in need of repair. There's estimates about how much fresh water is lost from leaking pipes in big cities that are still using 100-year-old pipes, you know, to pipe water, let alone the fact that a lot of those pipes are lead pipes, and they present a health risk to us. We've seen bridges collapse because they have not been maintained. So there is hardly any argument about the need for improving our current physical infrastructure in the country. Now, I hear that some conservatives are concerned with fiat currency and the debt load. And so if we do set out to repair the physical infrastructure at least, then let's do that with real money. And we can find that real money in incomes and in wealth taxes. So if we tax people to fund the infrastructure, we're not funding it with new money, with money that's created at the Federal Reserve. So let's tax it to fund what we need to pay for. So the tax plan does is it increases the personal income tax bracket, the highest tax bracket, by 0.7%. It increases it by 0.7%. It's 2.6 percentage points above the current, I think it's 37.4% to like 39.6%. So it's not, you know, it's not a terrible burden for the richest among us who make the most money. And I want to, you know, point out that the way that tax brackets work is that you're not taxed at that rate until you reach that level of income. So if that rate is, say, for $1 million of income, if you're only making up to $1 million, you're not taxed at that bracket. It's for every dollar above that that you're being taxed. It increases the current corporate tax rate from 21% to 28%. So that's 7 percentage points. It's a third, but in 2017, it was widely, by economists declared that the Trump tax cuts, which was two-thirds of a cut, which from 35%, the nominal rate, to 21%, was unaffordable for the country and unsustainable. So Biden is modestly proposing to raise it up to 28%. There is $90 billion for increased funding for the IRS so that the IRS has more staff, more capacity to investigate tax cheats around the country and increase revenue from scoff laws. Then there are some offsets in the Biden tax plan. There's $1.2 trillion in credits for producers of green energy, people that are going to build child care centers, or people that are going to build low-income housing. So there's a lot of tax credits in there. So this tax increase funds the American Jobs Plan and the American Families Plan, which are about $4 trillion budgets. So the Families Plan provides for family leave so that our families are not burdened by having a baby, or our families are not burdened when their children get sick and they have to stay home to take care of a child or a sick parent. So and there's a lot of education expansion in the American Families Plan. You'll recall there's a proposal to make tuition-free community colleges, to make trade schools tuition-free. In other words, to help us to educate our workforce, to ramp them up so that they're more productive and so that the United States is more competitive, you know, around the world. So I think that corporations will be the largest beneficiaries of both the families and the jobs plans, because the jobs plans has all that money for infrastructure, and these contracts are going to be let to private corporations, to for-profit corporations. The families plan, by increasing the education levels of our workforce, is going to make corporations' workforces more productive. And so they're going to see increases in profits. So I think that it's just a win-win-win for everyone, and it is very short-sighted of such institutions as the U.S. Chamber of Commerce to be opposing it, or for individual senators like Kyrsten Sinema to oppose it only because it is being funded with taxes. I don't understand, in particular, Senator Sinema's opposition to funding this with taxes when the Biden administration has pledged that only Americans who are making $400,000 a year or more will be affected by these tax increases.
Jim,
I don't understand her position on that.
I understand why you don't understand. Call Jim Hadley for financial information, 623-3646. He's one of the smartest financial people I know. Jim, thanks for being on the show. Appreciate it. Hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for sharing part of yours with us. Thank you.
Thanks for letting me on, John. I appreciate it.
You're more than welcome. Jim Hadley, right. 623-3646. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this has been the John C. Scott Political Forum. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend, everyone.
July 20th, 1969.
I don't know if we look good, all sources. 623,
please. Okay, that's good. I'm flying.
Okay, Houston.
Houston, we're ready for liftoff.
Houston, engine is on.
Hey, can I confine you about something? I've been having nightmares about this thing getting us back to Earth.
Yeah. Trust me, you have nothing to be worried about.
3, 2, 1, 0. What a liftoff.
So tell me, what gave you that confidence?
Perfection Auto Works service the module.
You may not end up stranded on the moon, but rest assured, a breakdown is a major crisis. You can prevent unwanted breakdowns and costly repairs at Perfection Auto Works with our free 26-point inspection. We'll service your auto and truck from here to the moon and back, 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
That's one small step for man, one easy maintenance job for Perfection Auto Works.